With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
From the icy reaches of Montreal, Canada, Solid Gold Effects are effects pedal creators who constantly reinvent the wheel with their wonderful devices. If you, like us, are looking for something more than just another chorus, fuzz or flanger, then that's exactly what Solid Gold Effects do best. From the Oblivion, a quadruple-voiced flanger with a whole bunch of internal dip switches, to the Lysis, a polyphonic octave-down fuzz modulator, Solid Gold are just a great shout if you want to do something different, make weird noises, or if you're just looking for something a bit more fun. Check out their range of ultimately original soundscape devices at solidgoldeffects.com. We think they're wicked. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast, Season 2, Episode 9. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello there.
And Jay Cross.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Matt. Hi, listener.
Hi. Hi, Jay. Hello, dear listener. And of course, welcome to Dylan Clay, who's joined us on our new Patreon backer. He's not actually here. I should have prefaced that by saying, welcome new Patreon backers. I'm not saying, Dylan, if you're listening now, I'm not, you know, you don't need to call in or anything. It's not live. I just mean welcome. Welcome to the
just
thing.
Pop around and see Joe. Just pop around and see Joe for your welcome pack.
It's fine. Yes, you can get your little welcome pack. I should do a welcome pack, shouldn't I? A little goodie bag. What would be in it? What would be in Gitana's welcome pack?
Signed picture of you.
No, it would be that painting. It would be a print of that painting of me.
Yes, signed. And but the other thing is that your the print that you would give them, you would have to, every time you had to send one out, you would snip a little bit of your actual moustache off.
Oh, that's a good one.
And tape it to the print.
I've been really trying to grow my moustache, actually, over the last few weeks. Do you remember back in GAC days when I had a massive curly moustache?
Yeah.
It's been kind of muted for, you know, for years since then. It's sort of more, I'm more Tom Selleck than I am, like Tombstone, Kurt Russell, you know, these days. But, you know, I'm trying to get back
I've got to be honest
that.
With you. I don't know. I don't really know what you said there. So.
I'm trying to get back to like Val Kilmer Tombstone moustache.
I'd actually argue that Jay Cross probably has a better moustache than you right now, Jay.
Jay Cross does have a good moustache. No. You haven't seen... I've gone back to the curly bits at the end, Matt. I've got wax for it and everything. But yes, of recent times, I agree. Jay Cross's moustache is not bad.
It's all right. Yeah, I mean, it's... I actually didn't think I could grow... Well, I was talking to Matty about this the other day. Like, I didn't think I could grow a moustache until lockdown when actually, this is the secret... For anybody out there who, like me, didn't think you could grow a moustache, stop shaving. And it's just gross. It's just gross. You just stop shaving. And
it's having the time away from people to get through that bad first bit, though, as well.
It is, yeah, it is. But yeah, basically, that was the thing, is that I just stopped shaving. And I got to, you know, 5 days in or whatever, which is when I'd usually shave. And I'd looked at myself in the mirror. I'd go, nah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And then day six came around. I was like, yeah, it looks a bit bad. I should do it. And I just left it. I left it for about a month, and it looked really, really bad. It looked so bad. And then I'd left it too long, and my electric shaver couldn't handle it. It was too long, so I had I had to buy a beard trimmer. And I did the tash as sort of a laugh, really. And Maddie, my girlfriend, was like, "Yeah, looks fine. Looks all right." So I've kept it, and now I really can't imagine myself without it. Like, I look at photos of me from this time last year.
You definitely look cooler.
Completely different person. Now. Yeah.
What oil do you use on your moustache?
I don't use any oil. Use any oil. No, I moisturise twice a day. I don't know if that makes any odds. No. But no, I don't use it. Should I be using oil?
Well, you know, I would recommend 7 Potions, pure moustache oil, or Apothecary 387. Either of those. I tend to get either of those. They're very good. Keep it thick and luscious, you know.
Okay.
Think of it like a conditioner for your moustache.
Okay. You all right. Yeah. I mean, I'll have a think about it.
Yeah, yeah. You do that. But they're good. What about you, Matt? Have you ever trimmed off your beard and just had a moustache?
So yes, and I did find a picture. We sort of did a Movember at GAC once, but I was like, I'm not going to go. I'm just going to shave the moustache in. Amy hated it. And I sort of just, it was a bit more of a Freddie Mercury, just sort of solid, sort of 80s
just that solid
tash.
That big bar.
Somehow I ended up with that for a whole month, which was bizarre. No, but in the whole time I've been with Amy, so nearly 10 years this year, I think I've only been clean shaven twice. So
I can't remember ever seeing you clean shaven.
No, it's weird. It's weird.
I imagine your head's quite round. I imagine it. Yeah, more round.
She always says I have a perfectly square round head. So
perfectly square round head.
Yeah, perfectly square round head. So it's sort of it's a bit like Crichton, I guess, from Red Dwarf. I laugh uncontrollably when I shave if I go completely clean shaven, because I just look ridiculous.
Oh, I thought you meant because you have a very ticklish chin.
No, it's just like when you start to shave off, when you've had a full beard for ages, and you're just like, it's just hilarious. I don't recognise this face.
No, I would find it strange to look at you clean shaven.
Yeah, there's some fantastic videos on the internet of people who's just like, I mean, imagine Mikey Demas with no beard.
Ooh, I can't. I can't even begin to imagine
what's underneath
that beard.
It's just a void there, just a black hole.
Just a void, like a black hole. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just nothingness. Antimatter.
It's just another left-handed guitar under that beard. That's where he stores them. It's where he stores them. His guitars don't come with cases, so he just stores them in his beard. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's perfectly sensible. Anyway, talking about guitar-related things, so...
What was that?
Well, no, I mean, we should talk about guitar.
Oh, okay, we should. Okay, that sounded like one of your bad links.
Well, speaking of moustaches, I want to talk about Solid Gold Effects, who probably have an employee with a moustache. I don't know any of them. But, you know, they're from Canada. It's cold there. They probably have to keep their lips warm somehow. But anyway, Solid Gold Effects released a new pedal just after last week's podcast, which is very frustrating because I just received it and I was like, I can't talk about this on this week's podcast. But so I didn't tell you guys anything about it because I had a fantastic time with it and I wanted to save the fanfare for now. Solid Gold Effects unveiled the Imperial Fuzz Mark II. My goodness, a fuzz pedal with sliders, very topical at the moment, sliders. Very in, aren't they? Like we've been saying we want more pedals with sliders since the early days of the Ibanez
Echo Shifter, the ES2. Yeah.
It's just so good. They're just so good. And it certainly feels like that's the way things are going. Like, you know, obviously the elephant in the room is the Chase Bliss preamp and the Chase Bliss reverb, but also even with little things like the Old Blood Noise Endeavors expression fader, and just, you know, what an incredibly usable and useful
harmonic percolator
thing. Of course, the harmonic percolator, probably the one of the originals.
So I've got a question about these then. Are they, so how tell me about the experience of pulling up or pulling down one of the sliders. Is it like, is there resistance or is it very smooth?
Weighted.
Is it nice? Smooth. I like.
Like, but not fast. Not like a, you know, like a, when you play an Ibanez or something and it has a speed volume knob. I know a knob's obviously different from a fader, but you know what I mean? When it just goes.
Yeah.
You want it to sort of roll slowly.
Yeah,
through
I don't,
that,
because, and the reason I ask this, and that's great, the reason I ask this is that, like, the distance between sort of zero and one, I guess, isn't, you know, there's not a huge amount of room there. Mm. So what I want to make sure is that it's like, you know, I don't accidentally nudge it and it goes all the way to the top. I want to be able to feel that kind of resistance as I turn my contour control up. I want it to be like,
well,
you know.
I guess if you kind of think about it, if you were to stretch out the rotation of a knob, it's probably longer than the amount of fader on this Solid Gold FX Imperial Mark II. So I guess they need to be weighted to be able to move appropriately through the tonal options that you have. Mm-hmm. And kind of tonal options is almost like, that's the thing with this pedal. I was surprised at how versatile this was. Bear in mind, it's like a, you know, it's just a single voice fuzz. We live in a time of, you know, things like the Jackson Audio fuzz pedal that comes with extra modules and it has a 3-band EQ on it as well, and you know, two separate mid controls. You know, everything's about options. This is a very simple old school pedal with four sliders on it, so I was surprised at how versatile it was, but very, very cool when you look at kind of the origins and the inspiration for the pedal. So it's based on the old Gen jumbo fuzz. I always wanted one of those Gen synthesizers. Do you remember the ones? This X1000? I can't remember. Doesn't matter. Anyway, based on an old Gen jumbo fuzz, but they've swapped out the... So it's like a JFET preamp, but they've swapped out what would be a germanium, you know, fuzz circuit for a more modern silicon fuzz circuit. So it's kind of got that gated modern feel to it. But you know, if you really cut that contour control, which is kind of your master, almost your mid shift on the, it's got a separate tone control, but the contour is kind of your mid shift there. If you really drop that and you drop the fuzz, you get some really like big muff style, woolly old school tones. And my goodness, did it sound good on bass. Sounded great on guitar, and apparently it's fantastic for synthesizers as well. But I had a whale of a time on this pedal, and I have never used a fuzz pedal in a live setup. Like, they've never really been my thing. I always feel like I can't really demo them because I don't, you know, play like that. So I'm always kind of in two minds about fuzzes. They're fine. I don't dislike them like you do, Jay. They're just, you know, whatever. I'd rather it was a weird delay or something that allowed me to go or something like that. So fuzzes have always had a minimal interest for me. I spent ages messing around with this pedal before I even bothered to record a little video, which you can watch, dear listener, on our IGTV, or I popped it in the Facebook group and it's on our Facebook page as well. It's so good. It's so good. This is a must-have fuzz pedal.
It looks wicked. I mean, I had... the old Ibanez Super Fuzz, which is, it's slightly different circuit, but also had sliders, which is obviously very, very cool. And I like the fact they've gone for silicon. I'd imagine they've probably gone for silicon because it's a little bit more stable and consistent compared
that
to...
That was one of the reasons, yes, when I was having a chat with Bruce from ADG, who distributes Solid Gold FX in the UK. He was saying, yes, that is very much one of the reasons.
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah, it's difficult, I think, to do a germanium fuzz because of, just the amount of component tolerance and things like that. So going to silicon makes sense. It does change the vibe slightly, but they've said that it's not a direct clone. It's inspired by. Mm. And obviously the noise gate is a new option just to kind of keep things in check where needs be. But I think it sounds great. You know, it sounds like, Joe, you've had one of those experiences, which I tend to find more with a good drive pedal than any other types of pedal, which is where no matter where you kind of dial it in, you find something enjoyable to sit down and play. Because generally with like a good delay or a modulation, I'll find like a setting and I'll be like, oh, this is amazing. And I'll sort of just sort of leave it like that. But with when you really get into a really good sort of drive pedal, no matter where you set it, you find all these great sounds. You're like, oh, I just want a million of them. It's sort of a bit...
Yeah.
It's sort of how I found with the Chase Bliss CXM reverb. I've sort of like struggled to dial in a bad reverb sound, you know. So, and that has sliders too. So maybe the sliders are the magic
is
in the sliders.
I did find that this, the Imperial Mark II fuzz kind of made fuzz for me, but it also ruined fuzz for me because I kind of felt like I discovered it that day. I was like, God, this is wonderful. I want to use fuzz on loads more stuff. I actually feel like I can play with this sort of pedal. And you're right, like every setting I went to, it just sounded great. And I was like, right, I'm going to, you know, try out some other fuzzes because I almost had no reference point because I don't really ever bother with fuzzes. I have loads here, but I kind of get you to, you know, play those. And I was like, right, okay, well, I'll plug in. I've got the, you know, we'll talk about this probably next week, but we've got the Jackson Audio fuzz here and all its modules, which will be coming to you, Matt, soon for you to have a go. So I had that. I have like the Doomstick, the Death fuzz. There were I've put them all away. There were a handful of other fuzzes that I got out to try, and I was like, the Imperial Mark II just sounds better than everything else. I never found anything else that was quite as perfect and quite as on it with that kind of a perfect blend of exactly what you want from a Big Muff, but with kind of some of that weird glitchiness that you get on a modern fuzz. I can't recommend it enough. A very, very cool pedal.
Yeah, it's and I think they've nailed the look as well, which I think is really cool. Homage to the original, but not exactly the same, which I think is nice.
Yeah, it's got that kind of utilitarian look that I really love about Frederick effects.
Yeah,
They go for that on a lot of their like.
It's got kind of like a militaristic.
Yeah, that's
feel to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Really, really cool.
We actually got. I've got to be careful what setting I'm on. I might launch the nukes.
Yes, exactly that. Exactly that. But at the opposite end of that spectrum, we also got another pedal from Solid Gold Effects, which was their new 33 or NU 33, which is their vinyl engine. That's what the effects type is. It's a vinyl engine.
So it's like a deco type thing then?
Well, that's exactly what I think, what most people would think, because the whole idea of the deco is that it's manipulating tape, you know, in a recording studio. But this is actually kind of manipulating an old record, so a much later stage of the recording process, the actual playing process of it. In fact, it even has a switch for crackle, which will add in... just like almost, I guess it's a loop of vinyl crackle that will exist, you know, with whatever you're playing.
I would imagine it's probably, I don't know, I'm sure they would be able to answer this, but it's probably whatever the effect is, I'd imagine this is analog, not digital, that the clock, the BBD clock is probably slowed down to the point where it's quite noisy. That's the same thing with the mood. You can from Chase Bliss, you can adjust the clock speed down on things like the reverb. Once you get to a certain point, it's just noisy because I think you're like going above and beyond the capability of the BBD chip. So that's probably what's adding in the extra noise, or maybe there's a noise filter in there that you can just disengage.
Maybe.
It sounds great though. I think it's got a real... I think they're going for like something that's just... Mate, whether you'd have it on a pedal board and use it all the time, whether you'd use it in recording maybe
I think it's an occasional pedal. I definitely felt like it's an occasional.
I mean, it sounds to me like it would be used as kind of almost like a preamp style pedal. Like, you know, you're using this as the basis for your sound and then... well, pushing everything else through. Or maybe it does go at the end. You know, do you remember like the... electroharmonics analogizer, which basically just sort of warmed everything up and also made everything sound a bit rubbish, but like intentionally and in a good way. Maybe that's what they're doing.
This could definitely be used for that, but it also includes kind of like a chorus doubling effect, which you can have. You can use it as a doubler, essentially. It can do a bit of a chorus sound. It also has kind of a vibrato element to it, depending on how you control the flutter and the speed of that. It actually has a rotary just dedicated to hiss. So you could just increase almost like the bad signal that you have. So it's like nothing else in that they've really gone after sort of this bad recording thing. But what they've mixed in there is this option to get some really interesting modulation tones. So you can dial this back quite safely, shut off that crackle, shut off the hiss, and get yourself quite a nice vibrato or chorus tone out of there. But you can also make it sound like a record that's been badly burned. So, and that's why I think it's an occasional pedal. This is like the sort of thing that would be really useful for just like maybe a slow picked part somewhere in an ambient song where you want it to sound different and interesting. It actually has a tap tempo for the speed as well, which can be used as a ramp control if you hold your foot down on it, which can be very useful if you're trying to go for that sort of almost randomly slightly warped vinyl. Yeah, a really, really cool pedal, like totally different from the Imperial Fuzz, which I feel would be like the cornerstone of an aggressive pedal board. This is a recording tool, but just a really unusual one. It's just nice to play stuff that is just totally not what I expected, totally not what you're seeing anywhere else. Like, has anyone created a vinyl emulation pedal before?
Reverend Guitars have kicked off 2021 with their first ever S-Type guitar. In true Reverend style, this cracker of a guitar features classic looks juxtaposed with modern electrics. Introducing the Gil Paris GPS signature model from Reverend Guitars. Whilst on first glance, the pickup arrangement looks fairly standard for an S-Type. In fact, each of the single coils is a Fishman Fluent single-width pickup. These can be switched with a push-pull tone control between two voicings, a vintage voice, the classic Airy 50 single coil sound, and a hot Texas voice for a hotter, punchier, more modern alternative. Check out the GPS and all of Reverend Guitar's mouth-watering models at reverendguitars.com.
Don't Zander do the warped vinyl?
Ah, yeah.
Is that Zander true? Or have I... I've just typed in warped vinyl and it's showing, telling me how to deal with... Oh, no, Chase Bliss, of course. Chase Bliss do the warped vinyl. I'm sure there's something else similar. I don't know what that sounds like.
No, I don't actually know much about the Chase Bliss warped vinyl at all.
Mate, have you tried that?
The same sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a vibrato. I mean, warped vinyl is effectively just pitch, isn't it? Because if you think about...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, the warped vinyl was basically a pitch vibrato, but had a few other effects in it to give you a similar thing. I mean, the obvious one, the first one, I guess, in some ways in pedal form, was the Lo-Fi Loop Junkie from Zvex, which was a 20-second looper that you could do all of the pitch modulation and noise and hiss to a short loop that was like 20 seconds long. And then a couple of years ago, they brought out the Instant Lo-Fi Loop Junkie, which gives you the same effects, but in real time.
Real, get it?
Yeah.
The one I was thinking about was the Zander do the tape deck. That was what I had in my head.
Right,
Modulated lo-fi delay is what they call it. So right, it's, you know, I think all of these things are doing similar types of effects, you know, sounds like there's a lot of cool stuff going on there.
Yeah, it was super cool. I was a big fan of it. Now, moving over to the Guitar Nerds Facebook group, I wanted to talk about, because of course we've mentioned a lot on the podcast recently that the Basic Guitar Nerds are going to be modding a set of Broncos, a load of Squire Broncos that we've that we've got. We're going to be refinishing them, changing pickups and stuff. We are encouraging listeners to join us on the Bronco Mod Adventure. They're a very affordable guitar. They're actually very good out of the box. The necks are fantastic. It's a Strat pickup in them, so you know you've got a spare Strat pickup if you want to take that out and use that elsewhere. And you know it's just so malleable as an instrument. It's something you can do so much with. And Dave Lee has on our Facebook group. Podcast listener Dave Lee has modded his Bronco already ahead of us. Even really, I've only actually just messed around with one of them. I haven't even discussed budget yet with the bass guitar nerds for our modding project. But actually, to be honest, after Dave Lee's modded his, I have booked a meeting for tomorrow with Naomi and JD to work out exactly when and how we're going to do this, because I want to do it before,
otherwise you're going to be upstaged.
Yeah, I know. Well, this is already quite
so yeah, he's sort of won, to be honest.
This is exactly which is, you know, exactly what we want to we're going to talk about. Dave Lee's Bronco mod, what a bass.
I'm very impressed. I mean, my Bronco is purely off the shelf, you know. Bought a different scratch plate. I bought some great pickups, but his is like above and beyond. And I'm just looking at it, going, "Yeah, maybe that it's beyond the level of effort that I think I would have originally put in." But then seeing the results, I'm gone, "Oh, maybe." Like even the scratch plate that's got the Jazz Blaze style sort of cut off with the little metal plate.
Let's go through that. Let's talk about this guitar. So he's had it refinished in a kind of a Daphne blue. Is it Daphne blue? Is it satin?
No, I would
it looks
say
like it might be satin.
Yeah, I would
as
say
well.
It's close to a sonic blue. But
okay, so like a satin sonic blue. I think it's satin. He's also aged the hardware, both the control panel and the tuners. He's vintage tinted the neck. It's got a pink paisley scratch plate. And of course,
which he made himself.
Did he make it himself? Is that what he said? Wow,
yeah,
incredible. It looks incredible. It's perfect as well because it's slightly bursted as well, like it's pinko around the edges. He's done an amazing job of that plate. But then he's also done the thing where, so a Bronco plate comes in one piece, much like a P bass, whereas he's changed it so that the control plate is on a separate metal cover, much like a Mustang would be, as opposed to a Music Master. Essentially, that would be the difference, or a Jazz bass to a P bass. So I think it's just a Mustang, a control panel that he's put in there, but he's aged that as well. I mean, attention to detail. This thing's great.
Yeah, I mean, it looks incredible. It looks really incredible.
And then he's gone for a Sun Bear humbucker, which he's got on a push pull, which allows him to put it in a single coil mode, a humbucking mode, like a series parallel switching option as well.
Bass.
Yeah. But the pickup sounded fantastic. He's done a little YouTube video on it. You can find that, dear listener, on our Facebook group on facebook.com/guitarnerdsgroup. You can find that video that Dave Lee's updated. The pickup sounds incredible. Sun Bear pickups, they make some fantastic stuff, but it's a gorgeous little bass humbucker. This is a very cool...
I've just realized this is the Guitar Nerds community is gonna start getting a little shout out on each episode, isn't it? Because people are gonna start, they're gonna start one upping each other here. I mean, you're gonna have to go some way to one up Dave's bass here. But I mean, it's just impossible not to talk about. I mean, it looks amazing.
I almost,
and it really has given you, the bar has been raised, Joe.
I know.
Like if you rock up and be like, oh yeah, so I've made this this cool little gigging bass, and it's like, you know, black with a black plate, and it's like, oh yeah, great, yeah. Mm. Can we see Dave's again? You know,
yeah, exactly. I've really got to think of some new ideas now. Ah, damn it. Like, it's. I don't know if anything's going to top this, but what a fantastic instrument. I think he's done an amazing job of making a budget bass into something very, very cool. And it's absolutely kind of testament to Squire for putting out the Bronco as well. Has there ever been anything more perfect for modding than a Squire Bronco?
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You know, £150 or whatever they are.
It's kind of like when I grew up, my dad's really into cars. And he was like, if you want to mod a car easily, buy a Mini.
Mini. I knew you. Because
loads of people have made like loads of just like off-the-shelf like mods for Mini. Hmm. And kind of, yeah, Bronco is sort of one of those, really. It's just sort of this, there are a bunch of parts that fit and can change. I mean, I'm surprised no big company's gone... I guess they don't really want people to do it, but just sort of a guitar that's like ideal for modding. And there's a whole bunch of different parts and stuff that you could buy. Almost like you could buy one body and two necks and then everything else. There's just like, oh, we make 50 different scratch plates and, you know, whatever. Because I know there was a point...
I mean, I can think of a company that does that at the moment, Matty. I'm not wanting to get too far into it, but, you know, that's kind of the thing with Fender guitars, isn't it? Is that so much of the stuff is transferable from model to model, you know, unless you're looking at, you know, unless you're starting off with like an HSS Strat, like an HSH Strat or whatever, you can put... most plates on most guitars, and you know, obviously there's variations throughout the eras depending on what you're looking at, but like most necks, even like the aftermarket necks and stuff, they all fit on
that's true.
Most of the standard guitars, and like, you know, I think it's also, we saw something similar with like the Bullet Mustangs, you know, the amount of people that were, and I think, you know, Ryan from does this YouTube channel 60 Cycle Hum? I don't know if you guys would have heard of it, but the guy on there, Ryan, with he's got a beard. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No,
never. Oh, heard. Okay.
I know. 50
you should.
Cycle
you should.
Hum.
You should. You 50. Sorry, 50 Cycle Hum. Yeah, that's the one. But I think Ryan deserves a lot of praise for kind of showing idiots how easy it is to mod stuff. And I'm of course mean that in the meanest possible way. I think it's great that people are able to do this like mad stuff on a budget and, you know, keep themselves occupied during lockdown, you know.
that's it, isn't it? The modding, the amount of modding that's probably ensued due to lockdown. But damn that we haven't started ours yet, but I'm very excited about getting on board.
Lazy.
I know, lazy. That is what it is. That is
lazy.
What it is.
I've been building... sitting around playing Among Us.
Yeah. exactly. But you know, I've been too busy building pedal boards, which of course a couple of weeks ago we spoke about the mono carbon fiber pedal boards, which are sold direct off of their website. And we discovered them almost real time on the podcast. A really interesting, incredibly lightweight, flat carbon fiber pedal board that comes in three sizes. And of course, they actually sell them, including the mono soft bags. And we all know that, of course, mono are kind of leading the game at the moment when it comes to gig bags and things like that. And it's great that they moved into the pedal board world with their regular sort of angled pedal boards. And these carbon fiber things were a totally new thing. So I got one. So I got the smaller size because I wanted
because you're an animal who can't control himself. That's why. Well, just like, oh, I've just seen this new thing. Oh, I bought it.
Well, it's great. I've got it here. See that? That's carbon fiber right there. It's great. And it's got like a pair of handles. It's really good. Comes with the mono soft bag, but also, so already this pedal board's great. Comes with really good quality Velcro. It's an excellent size. I made a wonderful mini board, which just had the GT1000 core, a little Boss FS7 to expand the foot controls for the GT1000 core, and an expression pedal. I was then able to mount like the Chox DC4, their smallest power supply, on the top, and just have everything there right in front of me, perfectly fitted on this incredibly lightweight carbon fiber board, which goes in this wonderfully padded stuff case from Mono. But Mono have also just released, I know this sounds weird and it sounds odd for us to talk about it on the podcast, but they've just released a backpack. But hear me out.
I like a good accessory backpack.
Yeah, well, there you go. This is a backpack designed around musicians. So very much the kind of the little compartments and everything are designed around what you would need to fit cables, things like that. In fact, it's two backpacks because the second part of it comes off and you can use that as a laptop bag, either separately or as part of the main bag, which I think is pretty cool. But it's very much geared around making sure you've got an area where cables fit in neatly, where whatever, power supplies, bits and bobs. It's very good. It's a very good backpack. It also fits the smaller size carbon fiber pedal board.
Nice.
So I don't have to bring the pedal board case. I can fit my pedal board into the backpack along with all my cables. And because it's a carbon fiber pedal board, it doesn't weigh a ton. All of a sudden, I've moved my entire gigging setup into a single backpack. You know, it's very good. So it comes with my full recommendations. I appreciate, listeners, it's maybe a slightly odd thing to talk about. Even has a little hanging hook for your headphones in the back. Real attention to detail on this backpack. I was big into it, but mainly because I can fit a pedal board in there. But
I mean, gear of the year, you've sold me.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. Accessory of the year, absolutely.
Gear of the year. Give it the full prize.
All right. I think Dave Lee's Bronco is going to win that.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Because I think last year we were talking about Didario released a brand new sort of fancy accessory backpack.
I was trying to think about who it was. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Which I think we approached them at Birmingham Guitar Show and then
walked towards them.
And and then basically, I don't think we ever managed to follow up because of a global pandemic. But the Backline Gear Transport Pack from Didario, which is a super super fancy gig backpack for gigging musicians.
I'm into this movement of backpacks for gigging musicians. This is my new accessory. This is going to be like when I got obsessed with plectrums for a while.
Well, okay. I mean, just looking at this, I'm actually impressed with the way that they've done several pictures. So there's a little cable thing, and they're like, you just coil your cable up, and then there's individual sections for each cable, and then there's like a microphone bag, and then a strings bag, and then a tiny pedal board on here, and a bit for sheet music, and then a bit where you can put your mic stand and stuff on the side.
Nice.
It's super impressive. It's expensive.
Go gadget gigging.
But yeah, maybe, you know, maybe there was a...
Does it separate into two separate bags, like the mono one?
Yes. I don't know. I don't know. But I have actually just seen that Staria also do a mic stand accessory starter kit. And they also do a tour grade power supply, but not a power supply like a brick. I'm talking about an 8-way multi plug.
Oh. So what does that mean? It's just like it's fused.
Yes, a fused plug. Power strip for plugging all your amps and stuff into, I guess. But yeah, bunch of accessories on there as well. Maybe we need to do an accessory special.
Oh yeah,
careful, careful. Whew.
You never know.
Oh, it's warm enough in here as it is, Matty. You're.
I had to go collect some stuff over the weekend from the Polymath lockup, and I took my my mono. Like gig bag to pick up a bass and the Softcase mono pedal board. I felt very branded, like on my way back, you know, with like a full mono backpack and gig bag in my hand. It was good. I felt like what people must feel like when they go out in full Nike tracksuits or something.
I mean, I'm wearing an Adidas jumper and Adidas tracksuit bottoms right now.
There you go, yeah.
And I went out for a walk wearing Adidas sneakers. Like, I was walking around just like, I look like such a wally. Such a wally.
Yes. Well, there you go. Anyway, we do need to, we're gonna move on and talk about some newsy bits and bobs, but before we do, I wanted to talk about plugin of the week, as I've been kind of, you know, loosely, tentatively mentioning a new plugin each week, as we've been getting so into the concept of home recording, something that I think home recorders, you should go out and check out. And this week I discovered Spitfire Audio, and Spitfire Audio are essentially a completely free, selection of virtual instruments. So they describe themselves on the site. Spitfire Audio are an infinite series of free software instruments made by musicians and sampling experts in London for anyone, anywhere, presented in their own plugin. They're easy to use and compatible with any DAW. And of course, they're completely free. And they have a massive amount of stuff. So listen and check them out at labs.spitfireaudio.com. They have a wonderful search engine where you can search for any type of instrument: strings, guitars, pianos, brass, drums, vocals, percussion, synths, experimental. Those are just some of the suggestion tabs on there. But they've got some wonderful stuff like orchestras recorded on tape. These aren't samples. These are virtual instruments. So very, very good. Like some of the things, they're called Arctic Swells. One of the instruments that I've liked the most and got the most use out of is their Granular Whale Song. But yeah, exactly. But there's so much
that
stuff
needs to be
there.
A pedal.
Yeah, exactly. But there's so much stuff there. You know, it's really almost unending, the amount of virtual instruments they've got on there. You know, the choirs are lovely. The frozen strings are, you know, atmospheric and beautiful. It's wonderful. They're just a fantastic selection of incredible instruments, and all completely free. So once again, that's labs.spitfireaudio.com. I couldn't recommend their products enough. I've been incredibly impressed with them, and I would have been happy to part with money for the sort of quality that those plugins are putting out. So if you're looking for something else to add onto, you know, a guitar track, there's an infinite amount of instruments there that will just really open up your world in kind of songwriting. Matt, I know you've been getting on with Easy Drummer a lot recently, I think.
Yes, yes. Know, actually... You know, I use like a looper quite a lot and just come up with ideas. And actually, then I'll go, oh man, just be good if I could just like sort of play along with some drums. And there's some basic drum beats in, you know, like the RC5 that I use. But if you then think, all right, I'm going to like write a song, it's just so boring to just sort of play to a metronome. So actually being able to like quickly load up some drum kits and some pre-recorded drum loops is just amazing. It's been a bit of a game changer, really, for just kind of like, I've got this cool riff, and it'd be like, be cool if there was like some drums behind it, and then you can quickly like just dial in some drums that you want to you want to play along. You can sort of tap a beat. You can listen to a bunch of different samples. You can quickly alter like how many hits of each instrument, and you can chop it up really quickly and really easily without any sort of knowledge of programming drums, really.
Yeah.
So it's made a big difference to actually like playing a bit of guitar. And, you know, even just before this podcast, I was sort of like, I had this thing on acoustic guitar that I'd forgotten. I'd sort of recorded into the Spire as like a scratch track ages ago. I was like, oh, I really want some drums for that. And then I sort of got a drum part going within like 2 or 3 minutes. Just like, that's perfect. And then I've also just been looking at the expansion packs for Easy Drummer and seen that they do a post-rock expansion pack, which includes like a bunch of like vintage kits, but there's also things like singing bowls and like a violin bow that you can just like bow certain parts of the instrument stuff. I'm like, yes,
that's exactly yes. what you
so
want.
That's the kind of drums that I need. You know, I need a mellow drum kit and then just like a post-rock drum kit. Which is great, because if you're messing around and doing some ambient stuff, you want to put some drums underneath it. Easy peasy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can't.
Can you get like can you get like repetitive droney krautrock type drums on there? That's what I want.
There is there are some sort of electro drums, and then there's also one called. Oh, I was looking at it earlier and I can't remember, but none of the sounds are recorded actual drums. It's all modular synth hits. Okay. So like bleeps and bloops from modular synths, like thousands of them that are pre-recorded into loops that you can then
manipulate into
which I love.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, for actually just for playing along to some drums, really, really good. Rather than just like trying to find a backing track that like suits your style, you can actually sort of write some songs to some drums and it feels like you're playing along with an actual drummer. So yeah, that's my top tip of the week. Get a virtual drummer.
Oh, I agree. The best part about being a bass player is that drums really hide, you know, sort of everything that you're pretty loose with. Drums hide it. So you play a bass line along to a drum kit and you sound fantastic, but, you know, play it without and it just sounds rubbish. So, you know, I used to think I was a bad bass player, but since I've started playing with drums, I'm like, I'm great. I'm really great, but I think it's, you know, it's obviously just the computerized drums making me believe that. But yeah, fine, whatever. Anyway, we should talk about some news because my goodness, there's been some exciting things that have come out this week. We have to start, obviously, with the elephant in the room. Line 6, HX Stomp XL has finally been officially announced after it had been sort of leaked here and there over the first few months, you know, the last couple of months of 2021. What an exciting product! The HX Stomp obviously was absolutely the right product for Line 6, the original one. It was great because for the first time it was kind of affordable. You've got to think when all of these complicated multi-effect, you know, amplifier units all in one digital solutions came out, they were so expensive. The Helix included were very expensive, and I think a lot of people certainly a lot of Line 6 fans aren't necessarily people who are looking to drop £1,000 on a single effects unit. So it was great when they made the HX Stomp. It was a bit more affordable. But of course, also, the main thing is, and I think everyone has found this, Boss as well with the GT1000 Core, everyone really, people don't necessarily want to get rid of all their pedals, but they do like the idea of having a multi-effects that can also be the controller for your pedal board. You know, this is moving on from how, you know, what a great product the Boss MS3 was in that sense, being able to have your effects, being able to input effects. But of course, this adds the ability to have amplifiers and things like that, and it makes it a recording solution as well as being something you can pump through the front of house for live. The problem with the HX Stomp, sorry, I realize I'm massively monologuing at the moment, but problem with the HX Stomp, same problem with the GT1000 Core by Boss, is that people use these pedals not in stomp mode. That is not what anyone has ever used these pedals for. You might as well lose stomp mode. Everyone uses these in the thing that's not stomp mode. Was
like preset,
right?
Like preset yeah, mode.
Exactly. That's how people use these units, because you don't, if you would never use it in stomp mode, because if you wanted to use it in stomp mode, you get stomp boxes. The idea of having these things is so that you can have a single switch that's going to change your set, change three or four things that's going on. That's the desired thing behind these things. So with both the HX Stomp and with the core, the fact that you can only scroll up or down, well, that's useless. No one scrolls up or down. So with both of those products, you need an external unit, a MIDI controller, to get the most out of them. It's obviously great that both those products have been made small to fit on a pedal board. But actually, when it comes to live application, neither of them really had what people need.
I'm not sure that's completely true, though. I think you're kind of you're talking about it from a very specific place, you know, because you've got to bear in mind that your band uses a lot more. There are a lot more different sounds from song to song, or even from like phrase to phrase in your band than there are in most bands. You know, most bands have got a cleanish sound and a drivey-ish sound. And you know, do you know what I mean? And it's like, or there are bands that have got the chorus sound and the verse sound. And I think that for people like that, actually, stomp box mode is probably fine, man. Well, whatever it's called, stomp mode rather than that's probably fine. And you know, the idea of the buying the unit is less for the massive manipulation and more for the okay, cool. I've got you know, my entire rig is now fits in the front of my gig bag.
Yeah. I guess so.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because actually, I think what a lot of people have done is bought an HX Stomp and then bought a Morningstar MIDI controller.
Yeah.
And then absolutely, they're changing patches on the Stomp and then using the MIDI controller to then access individual effects where they want to. So they've gone, well, rather than just buy both, why don't you just buy this? Which I think is quite interesting. And I think it does open up a bunch of other possibilities. I mean, one thing I've seen recently, because I can't remember if this one's got an effects loop or not, but I've seen a few people with the HX effects that's got two effects loops and MIDI, and then people are using that to then control to bring in external pedals, or you know, control, you know, another MIDI switcher as part of like the hub of a pedal board. So I think it's quite cool, but it's interesting, isn't it? You know, buy an HX Stomp because you don't want a Helix, but then you buy something with more but switches, this is, and it's just it is definitely aimed at a totally different cut. There are, like you say, there's customers out there that just want the multi effects, and then there's customers out there that want a mixture of both on their pedal board, and that's kind of what this is for, I guess.
Well, there is a size element of this as well, because some people do want to use a couple of existing pedals of their own along with something. And of course, like it's as you say, with both the core and the HX Stomp, you'd need a Morningstar on top of that product to get the most out of it in a live setting. Like, you know, I use the core predominantly for recording, and it's an incredible tool for that. Like, all the sounds are amazing. Accessing those sounds across three foot switches when I can only scroll up or down wouldn't be very easy live. So a Morningstar or some form of MIDI controller is what opens me up to all those sounds. The HX Stomp XL seems to have done that by adding, you know, so you've now got your scrolling back and forth through your patches, but you also have four individual foot switches, which obviously you can assign to individual effects if you want to use it in manual mode. Well, that's four different presets. And then scrolling up and down through those four different presets, essentially, you know, like that's how I use the MS3, certainly, the Boss MS3. You have four patches, and then you can double hit either one or two or three and four together to scroll up and down through your banks. And that's about right. That always felt to me to be the right amount of effects to have in one bank. I know I can have, you know, like I can have clean drive, drivier and crazy on one, and then scroll up and you've got your modulation options, scroll down, you've got your delay options. You kind of need about four in each of those things. I think this is a very astute product. It fits on a pedal board and it gives you access to everything. Kind of the right price as well. 600-ish quid, something like that.
Yeah, I think it's retailing at 649, I think I've seen. So, yeah, it sounds about right where the stomp was, plus the...
Plus the switch.
Plus the cost of the extra, you know, switcher, then, yeah, I think that probably is about right.
I don't know what this is going to do to the LT. That's the only thing.
I always found the LT a bit of a weird product anyway, because it felt like a space... The LT to me always felt like a money saving option, which is fine.
It was. That's why I got the LT.
I think a lot of people just probably just bought the full size Helix. I think if you're invested at that point, I think most people would go, I'll go the whole hog.
Right.
You know, rather than just like, because the benefits of going up to the full size with things like the Scribble scripts for the switches and, you know, other bits, I just think that. I mean, I know I would do the same. I'll just make the jump up. I think the HX Stomp will probably still be the bigger seller. I think this will just. I think it's just people now going, looking at pedal boards, going, "Oh, well, they've got this and the Morningstar. I'll just get this with all the switches on, and I'll still have a pedal board." I think it's. It feels a customer need, which they even say, I think, on their website, which is, I think I saw a post, which is like, we literally built this for people using an HX Stomp with a MIDI foot controller.
Well, there you go.
So, you know, because they obviously saw, you know, a lot of people doing that and went, why don't we just do it all in one box?
Yeah, yeah. Well, a cool product, a welcome addition. I'm still preferring the GT1000 Core. Like, you know, tonally, but I think this is an absolutely wonderful product, a welcome addition to the Line 6 family. Well done, Line 6. Okay, now we've got time for one more piece of news. J. Cross, let's talk about Electro Harmonix.
Well, it is Monday, and so you know, that's the day that Electro Harmonix announces a new pedal. Actually, it's not. They didn't announce it today. It's just that's the day we talk about it because that's when we record the podcast. But yes, Electro Harmonix brought out a new addition to their range of power amps. So to go along with the 5 watt, the 5mm, the 22 caliber. Caliber, thank you, and the 44 Magnum.
They have now Caliber 22. It's the other way around.
Caliber 22, 44 Magnum, 5mm, which is the small one. They've now released the 50 watt Howitzer, which is a really, really big gun. And actually, unlike the name would suggest, this is still just in their kind of neo housing, I think. So, like, you're kind of regular.
Wait, did you say 15 or 50? Sorry,
15, 15 one, one five. Five. But so basically, what it is it's a Class D power amp, but it's also got a preamp built in as well. So you've got volume and gain. You've got a 3-band EQ. You've got a switch on there that allows you to go that gives you the option between bright and norm. So essentially you've got like a top boost for if you want to do that. The thing that really sets this apart, I mean, apart from kind of the preamp side of it and all the EQ controls, the thing that really sets this apart from the other products in the range, I think, is that it's got an effects loop, which is really nice. So if you are using this in the way that, you know, they kind of talk about it in terms of using it like a pedal board power amp, you can still have your delays and reverbs after the preamp setting if you want to. So the send also doubles as a line out. So if you want to go out into, you know, whatever, a desk or however it is you're going to be using it, you can do that. It looks great. It looks like a really great piece of kit. Always been a big fan of this range. I used the Caliber 22 for a couple of shows when I was in a bit of a fix.
It's a great thing to have as a backup, isn't it? I love that Electro Harmonix do this.
And funnily enough, that is like one of the first things they say in the press release is they say, so the 15-watt howitzer guitar amp / preamp is an ultra compact workhorse that's perfect as a part of a portable rig or as an emergency backup and gig saver should your main amp break down. So it's really nice that they are kind of, you know, they're not just saying, oh, check this out, this is the best thing since sliced bread. They're really offering people an option of how you would use it in like your kind of like real life scenario. Yeah, really, really cool piece of kit. Sub 200 quid, 100. I mean, I'm not sure about UK price, but the US price is like $130. So, you know, super affordable as you would expect from EHX. And yeah, just another great looking pedal. And I can't wait till next week to see what the next installment of Pedal of the Week from Electroharmonix is.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it does look super cool. I mean, and that's exactly what this pedal should be, is like an affordable backup, because everyone needs a backup. And also, just as a fly rig, it's a great product at a fantastic price. I was always a massive fan of the 44 Magnum. I thought it was so ahead of its time back then as well. So it's cool that they're, you know, kind of continuing that and adding a few more features, giving a decent EQ and the option to have a gain as well is really super usable.
Completely. And, you know, it's just another option for people who are, you know, it's funny really, because you see so many people talking about and using the Strymon Iridium nowadays. Mm. And, you know, Electroharmonix did it with the Calibre 22 10 years ago. You know, it's, it really is, obviously it's, at another level, but it's ostensibly it's the same thing. You know, there's a lot more going on with the Iridium, but just EHX still knocking it out and doing a great job. It's yeah, really cool.
Yeah, very cool indeed. Yeah, go and check it out, dear listener. The howitzer, the 15-watt howitzer power amp from Electroharmonix. It looks incredibly cool. Now we're coming up to about time for this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We are going to be continuing over on our Patreon special, where we've got a bunch of questions to answer. We're going to be answering questions from the Facebook group.
I mean, we'll probably answer one. Let's be honest. Let's not even, you know, we'll probably answer one.
We'll see what we can do. We've got a good question about Squires versus Fenders from Dan Harding. Not the Dan Harding that we all know. It's a different Dan Harding on the group. There are now two Dan Hardings there. We've got another very good question from Cyrus Haskell. So we might answer that as well. But we'll see how it goes. We'll probably just talk about, I don't know, golf or something.
Volkswagen.
Yes.
Talking about we're gonna our new
Vintage
Patreon
German
series.
German Motors.
Our new Patreon series is mod mode for the Volkswagen Golf that Joe has bought each one of us.
Yeah.
It's, I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, as you should be. And if you want to hear any of this absolute guff, you can become a Patreon supporter for as little as $1 a month. At $1, you'll get this episode ad-free and early every week. $5 will get you access to the Patreon special episode and our entire back catalogue. And $10 will get you the lot. Plus, I'll sing you my thanks at the end of every episode. You can find us on all your favourite social media platforms and join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook to get involved in our weekly episode discussion. Thanks for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Let me tell you all about my Patreon backers. Some of them are crazy, some of them are crackers. Playing the guitar with them, saying that the back hurts. Modding all the Squire Broncos with the Raptors. I am the host, but I never seen a ghost. No concert, it's flames out of sleep, glow. Just one retroness, I must confess. You Patreon backers are the best. It's like Eric Bond, John Conway, James Dodd, John Hackett, Paul Julian Manning, Russell Healing, Ty Allen, you're the guitarist.
Kyle Harris, Cloud Lipster, and Todd Sands, Joe Hoffman, John Hughes, Brian Hansen, Jane M. and Jeffrey Wax, Eric Hammer, Samuel Frost, Brian Isaac, Evan Van Der Linden, Andy Manley, Scott Udden, Robert Butterworth, Simon Milborn, Marcus Alcatawacky, and Stuart Robson, Christian Lund Hansen, Pete Adams, Michael McFay, and Eric Kyle, Lauren Peters, Joe Patrick, Ryan McDermott, Jack Cuffmore, Ken Sayers, Abe Matthews, Guy Tobia, the band Sean Arbo, John Anglin, Dr. Amadon, and Ernie Cooper, Russ Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Burke, Aaron Sherman, Dave Lee, Jay Gray, Scott Kennedy, Blake Weiland, Christopher Loseth, Hans Ams, Derek Rich, Rob Nordvik, Steve Merkel, JD Short, and Brad Page, Annie McKenzie, and Robert Smith, Scott O'Brien, Paul Corrigan, Moo. Tell you all about my Patreon backers. Some of them are crazy, some of them are crackers. Playing the guitar all day and saying that their back hurts. Mudding all the Squire Broncos with the Raptors. I am the host, but I never seen a ghost. No concert, here's flame tops for gold. It's just one retroness, I must confess. You Patreon backers are the best.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.